Hey there, my friends. What's going on? This is Dave Sharp. Welcome to Wake Up Legendary. And you guessed it. We've done it again. You've done it again. We have yet another amazing guest this morning on the show in the cooking niche. This marketer this morning, Stephanie, is turning her passion into a growing online business. Hey, let's jump right into it. Stephanie, welcome to the show.
Hi. Pleasure.
How are you?
I'm pumped.
What's have you been watching the show for some time? Are you a regular viewer of the show?
Yeah, I mean, when I can, I'm on the West Coast, so a little early for me. And I do, I'm actually kind of a contractor, so I kind of work part of the year and then I take a couple months off and try and concentrate on the business too. Yeah. Hopefully the goal is eventually make it there.
So how you feeling being on this morning?
I'm honored, pumped, excited, pleasure to meet you, all of the above. I've been, I was brought on a legendary, it's been a while, like a year and a half or so, and I was just thrilled to hear you actually wanted to talk to me, because I'm not, you know, one of those people that has like 4 million followers or anything, but I'm honored to be here. Thank you for having me.
Well, hey, we want to talk to everybody, and who knows, you may have 4 million followers in, 12 months, 6 months, who knows, and we'll be the first to have talked to you about it, and we're real excited about that. That's what we're doing here anyways, and that's really what this show is all about, is following people's journey and talking to people at different points. And so talk to us about how you got here. How did you, what were you looking for? Were you looking for anything? Did it just kind of fall in your lap? And what's the experience been like since you got started, at least getting started? What was that experience like? I guess we can start there.
I mean, it was all of those things. So by day, I'm an IT project manager. Never went to college or anything like that, but ended up kind of working my way up through the ranks. And then, I was in my younger years, I was contracting. One of my contracts fell out and I had a whole bunch of people over for dinner. And I don't know, someone said, "Oh, you should write a cookbook." And I was like, okay, so I did. And then I just realized, wow, I really like doing this. And people seem to really, I was surprised at how many people didn't know how to cook. And my niche has always been making it easy, making it simple, 5 ingredients, not spending all day in the kitchen. Mm-hmm. And I just kind of fell into it. And I branded my website like 15 years ago, icancookthat.com. And then, but the thing is, when I found Legendary, I was like, oh man, if I just would have known how to collect emails and autoresponders and all of those things that I learned in that $7 course, who knows where I'd be right now. So it did fall into my lap. I saw someone on, the internet. I don't even think it was TikTok. It was just some random, it probably wasn't random. It was something that came across my feed. Now that I know the internet, I'm sure it wasn't random. And here I am, and it's been really slow for me. I mean, I'm not going to lie. It is, I haven't been, like I said, one of those sensations that have, but I'm growing slowly and I'm growing a very loyal following. And I think my email list is up to like 500 now or something.
Yeah. Wow. That's amazing. I love that. I love that story. And I love your growth. It's amazing growth. I mean, you're in the top, that's like the top 1% of the 1%, these enormous followings and figures that you've mentioned twice, but you are in the top probably 1-5%, of people who are succeeding, probably coming out of who try anywhere on the internet to build a business, whether they took a course or just tried on their own. It's not, something that people just waltz in and just, start a business and are successful and grow a email list. And maybe they might get lucky and have a video go viral and not know what to do with it. But you're growing an intentional audience that's loyal to your message, your needs, what you're talking about, and you're surprisingly having some success in some different places, such as X, formerly known as Twitter.
Yeah,
is really cool as well. Talk to us a little bit about how you've navigated into some of these places that, quite frankly, we don't talk about a whole lot here on Wake Up Legendary. How did that start for you?
I just did. I have a friend who's in the finance niche, and she actually has like 300,000 followers on Twitter. She has more than some celebrities I know. And I was just talking with her one day, and I just thought, well, I'll try it, because like I was growing on Facebook and I was growing actually a little bit on Pinterest, but it was pretty painfully slow. And then I just found there's just a whole underground foodie community in X, formerly Twitter. And what I found about them is what's also really interesting is they don't like video. They like pictures of food. I mean, you show a picture of a steak and they go crazy, so I think I was saying to Joanne, like, you really can find community anywhere. I think it's just like figuring out what they need, because every time I put video up, I get no views. Every time I show a picture of a perfect medium rare steak, it's like, what have you discovered? So yeah, Twitter is a huge, huge foodie community. And I found that they're very loyal. Like, I've had some followers on Twitter literally for years that email me to this day with questions.
So what were some of the big things? I mean, you said that you've had this icancookthat.com sort of, I don't know if you would have called it a business before, but you were trying to get it off the ground, or you would have liked to have spread. Did you end up making the cookbook? Is the cookbook a thing? So you have the cookbook.
Well, right? Yeah, I wrote the cookbook in 2009, and it's embarrassingly basic, but that was when I was starting.
That's your thing though, right? Which that resonated with me. That's you were speaking my language when you were talking incredibly simple in the kitchen, five ingredients. I mean, the world needs more of that, Stephanie. Yeah. So anyways, what was it that going through the challenge? I mean, you even went in and I believe bought our blueprints. What was it that's clicked for you, that's helped you to build a business around this passion, around this idea that's different than what it was before?
Well, I'll be honest with you. Before I knew about Legendary, I had affiliates. I actually knew what affiliate marketing was, and I had affiliates, but I was like, oh, great, I got a bottle of soft dissolve foam. Let me see. Let me look up all my emails and start writing emails. I knew nothing about an autoresponder or a front end versus a back end offer. And when I saw that, I was like, click. Like, I was just blown away that how did I not know? And I'm in tech. How did I not know that these tools existed? All right.
What, Stephanie? Oh man, we're going off the backboard too, because I don't know either why a lot of these strategies are, so unknown, when they are really the driving force of so many businesses, including the biggest businesses in the world. And so how did you begin to go back to your business and begin to reconstruct it? Because you're in a unique niche. Maybe we even go back to asking how you decided to stay in this niche, and to actually, because there's a lot of people, and we're starting to talk about this a lot more in our community. There's a lot of people who do have various different passions or knowledge, or even some sort of initial plans, or as you had, a cookbook or some sort of valuable thing that they could package, whether that be as a free giveaway, whether that be as a part of their course, whether that be in your case as a book. That and it's sitting collecting dust. It's sort of going unused, but it's valuable. And it's also in some cases proprietary to them. They're afraid to go into that niche because they don't really know what they could sell in that niche. They don't really know how they would monetize, where it might be more clear in other niches. Oh, well, I'll sell a online marketing course, or I'll sell a weight loss course. How did you make the decision to go into this niche and begin to visualize what you were actually going to sell and how you were going to make money in this niche?
I tell you, it's been tough because there aren't a lot of high ticket items. I mean, it's food, so the margins are small. I've been very lucky that I've actually been able to find like one or two that do like 25%. And there have been times where I've thought, you know what, this is just not worth it. And then something happens. Like I'll win a contest and I'll get a recipe on a menu in LA with a famous chef, or like, you know, like something keeps, like the universe keeps telling me, don't give up, you know, keep at it. So I think the next step, like, is the digital products that you always talk about, you know, my cookbook. Yes, there you go. So let me get the hat again. Yes.
I was wondering if you were going to say that.
Yeah. So my cookbook, my basic cookbook, that I have, I'm working on rebranding it and modernizing it into a digital form so that hopefully, you know, I can start selling that. So I think it's probably until I go viral, or, you know, I'm in a situation to where things really do grow to where I would like them to grow. It's going to be a life of me still plugging away at this business and then, you know, working some contracts, or maybe I'll dip into another really high ticket affiliate marketing niche. But, you know, it's slow and steady wins the race for this one, you know?
Yeah. Well, I don't disagree. You know, just off the top of my head, you know, I'm thinking, because I love to think about, you know, how to build, how to create something out of nothing. And that's what business is all about, no matter what niche you're in. And Lisa here is throwing out a wonderful idea. You could do a virtual cooking class. Mm-hmm. This is one of the things that we underestimate, is the power of a one-time event. So, you know how there's courses, coaching, and events. So you could sell a one-time event where, for, you know, you could even offer access for a very reasonable price. You doesn't have to jump up into high ticket right away, especially with some of these more, you know, where you're trying to feel out what the market is and what they will actually pay for, how much they'll spend. To spend an evening with Stephanie in the simplest kitchen you've ever seen, or whatever it is, right? Whatever. And also, I think it's really important to come up with a unique, somebody asked me about this the other day in kind of an old marketing terminology, or USP, your unique selling proposition. What makes you unique? What would make people want to listen to you, to learn from you? You know, what I've heard so far, it's the simple approach. Mm-hmm. I can teach you how to cook in one night. Right. I can teach you how to master your kitchen in one night with meals with five ingredients or less that mm-hmm. can be prepared in 30 minutes or less. Right. So you can love and connect with your family. You can eat great food and also, you know, love your family through preparing food for them and sitting at the table and bonding and spending quality time. I mean, all of those things are really popular right now in America mm-hmm. because we've been in such a work mode for the past few decades that these sort of traditional values are coming back and becoming really important on the mainstream again. Mm-hmm. And so a one-time live experience with Stephanie in the kitchen, to where you spend 2 hours on a Zoom and you just set it up in where people can see you cooking. You know, you have your computer set up or whatever, your webcam or whatever, where people can see you cooking for $27, for $37. Now, all of a sudden, if you do these, the beautiful thing, I always used to do these one-time live classes. The beautiful part about these one-time live classes is that there's a deadline that they have to buy by in order to access the live training. And that urgency is something that will convert sales for you if you're having a hard time making sales. That's one of the reasons why, even if you're doing affiliate marketing, I suggest a lot of affiliate marketers to use bonuses to say, if you buy in the next, you know, this week, I'm going to throw in these additional bonuses. Even if the product's not going away, your bonuses go away, right?
Mm-hmm.
So with these online classes, that's a great idea. And I, you know, me and the young lady who made that suggestion a few moments ago, we're on the same page with that. Here's the other beautiful part about, and I'm speaking to everybody, not just you, Stephanie, these sort of hybrid coaching events, is that there's no preparation in terms of filming a course. They're paying for you to do the class. Mm-hmm. They're giving you money first, and then you're doing the class. Here's the other powerful part about it. You can take the recording, and after you do four or five of these classes, guess what you have now?
A whole series.
A course that you can sell.
Right. Yeah, no, that's really good. The only issue I've come across is there's so much free cooking out there. You go to YouTube and everybody's got something, but that's definitely great suggestions. Thank you.
There is, and there's free marketing advice out there as well, Stephanie, right? We can all talk ourselves out of putting a value on our experiences and our knowledge, right? If we compare ourselves, that's the poison of comparisonitis, right? Is mm-hmm. that we watch what other people are doing too much, and we begin to devalue ourselves, right. And it's a race to the bottom. Right? It's a race to the bottom in terms of price. We're focused on price instead of the value that we can provide. And so, yes, asking for money, charging for your knowledge is the whole point of this.
Right.
Exactly. We talk about it being a mindset game so often is that we really have to, you know, we have to value ourselves and what we're doing and sell it and promote it and market it mm-hmm. as if you are getting way more value than the $27, $37, $997, $2,500, whatever mm-hmm. it is that you're charging. And then on the back end, the beautiful thing about delivering this knowledge is that you pour your heart and soul into it.
Mm-hmm.
You stick yeah. around and you answer questions. You may yeah. stay for 2 or 3 hours. You make sure that people know we're not going to leave until you're crystal clear, until all your questions are made, answered. And that's how you fulfill and under-promise and over-deliver on the back end.
Mm-hmm.
It's a lot to take in. I'm stretching your consciousness or unconsciousness of what's possible right now, I can tell. But this is the next step for you, I think, is to move into starting to do things that do feel a little bit uncomfortable mm-hmm. so you can start to bring some revenue in test. See, marketing's all a test.
Right.
Right. Test some various ideas and see how the market responds to them. What's coming up for you right now?
Well, I mean, just resonating and taking it all in. I mean, it's interesting. Like I mentioned to you, like, I wish my older self was more my younger self because, you know, I mentioned in the beginning that I didn't go to college or, you know, anything. And I've done a very good job financially in the 9 to 5. And that was because of that mindset. Like, no one could tell me I wasn't going to make it. I moved to California from the Midwest, long time ago in a horrible recession, and recruiters were telling me left and right, oh, you know, this isn't the time. And I was like, well, you're not the recruiter. And so, I mean, what you're saying is right. I think as we get older, as I've gotten older anyway, sometimes I go back into, you know, the thinking that I shouldn't have. So that was really, I appreciate that little jar.
Wow. Great self-awareness there, Stephanie. Seriously. I mean, just to realize that as we get older, those thoughts of, do I still got it? Sometimes we regress back into lower stages of self-confidence. Do I still got it? You know, where is that passion or that kind of, I can conquer any mountain attitude that I used to have? But here's what I want you to know. We all had that. I was much more fearless when I was in my 20s than I am now as well. I'm much more reserved, got a higher risk tolerance. I doubt myself sometimes as well. And that's the power of coaching and community, is that we challenge each other. We get inspired by each other. Mm-hmm. And then we talk about some of these real pitfalls, which is the comparisonitis of paying attention to the marketplace too much and what other people are doing. Mm-hmm. That's where we get in trouble. That's where we don't build businesses, is when we watch what the marketplace is doing too much.
Right.
And I think that's the main pitfall, one of the main pitfalls that you had mentioned, which is, well, everybody else is, you know, who would listen to me, especially when everybody else is doing things for free? We actually don't know the full story of what everybody else is doing, right? Mm-hmm. And the truth is that my experience, I can flip that perspective. People don't pay attention unless they pay. If you don't pay, you don't pay attention. And what I found is when I'm giving away free stuff, I'm undervaluing it. Guess what? They're also undervaluing it. When suddenly I charge for it, people actually thank me much more. I become much more gratitude and thankfulness is sent my way, because people actually part with their money. So now they've got skin in the game. It's more, they pay attention and then they get better results.
Right.
Actually, you know, results.
I think that's another really great thing about Legendary also, is that not only does it teach you the tools for the business, but also, you know, I don't know how many people, maybe a lot of people realize it, I don't know, but it taught me brand too, because what I realized is I was starting to put these pieces of the puzzle together, autoresponder, copy, you know, all of that type of thing. I was attracting people, going back to that, oh, you know, that negative voice, but I was attracting these big hitters in the cooking niche, where I was like, I would go to my autoresponder, I'd send out a blast, and I'd look at who opened it. It was like me, Ed, Chef Andrew Gruhl, Leanne, like all these. I was like, wow, they're reading my email too. Now this is great. They've subscribed. So like Legendary not only taught me how to put the pieces of the business together from a financial perspective and a business perspective, but from a brand perspective, which I think, you know, you hear a lot of these people like, oh, I made my first million in my 30s. And it's like, I've made $1 million too. It may have taken me 5 years, but that's not enough anymore. You know, like $1 million. Great.
You know, these big chefs, you know, you have to act as if you are equal to them. You know, and even if you don't believe it, one of the best pieces of advice that I got was when I was getting clean. And, you know, when you're getting clean, going through, you know, AA, NA, 12-step programs, there's a higher power and all this. And I'm when I was 24, I was like, don't talk to me about a higher power, you know, all this God stuff. And they were like, hey, Dave, you know, just believe that we believe. Right. It was kind of like, act as if, dude. Mm-hmm. Act as if there is a higher power. Act as if a God did bring your ass this far, right? Even if the doorknob's got to be your higher power for right now, whatever it is, just, you know, just believe that we believe. And, you know, act as if you believe that it can happen for you as well, right? And I think there's a lot of that needs to happen in business as you're climbing the ladder to success, in whether it be a corporate job or whether it be your own business. You have to show up acting as if you belong in the room.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Absolutely.
Like, you're as a marketer online, especially in, this is such a great example. If you're posting videos or pictures or content about cooking, absolutely there's going to be chefs that are going to be out there that are going to be looking for ideas. That's probably what chefs do. They go out onto the internet, just like us marketers go out onto the internet looking for marketing ideas, right? Chefs go on the internet looking for cooking ideas or looking for inspiration. And so, hell yeah, they're on your email list. And part of your job is to act as if, even if you don't believe it deep down inside, that they belong on your list.
Right.
That they should be paying attention to what you're doing.
Right.
That it'd be an honor for them to have you come up into their kitchen and consult with them. It'd be an honor. You'd deliver, and not from an arrogant perspective, but just from an equality perspective.
Mm-hmm.
And you know what? The beautiful thing is that I learned is that I cannot think myself into a new way of acting. I can't just sit around and go, there's no weeds in my lawn. There's no weeds in my lawn. But if I get out there and I keep sending emails and I keep delivering value, and then I say, hey, reply back and tell me what your favorite tip that I gave this week is. Now, all of a sudden you start maybe having one of those celebrity chefs respond back to you to where they acknowledge that they're paying attention to what you're doing and even give you kudos. Then those building blocks of confidence start to begin to build.
Right.
And it just... But it starts with you doing it even when you don't believe it. And I think that's true for a lot of us. You just gave a really great example of actually going on to your, because I've done that before. It's like, let me go into my AWeber or whatever I'm using and see who's opened my emails. I think we do it on Instagram and stuff too. Who's looking at my stories, right? And it's like, oh shit, that person's looking at my story. Oh crap, you know? And it's like, we can't run from that. We need to run to that and deliver even more. We need to, it's almost like when you're young, you know how you, like in sports, I played up to the competition. So if I was playing with better people, I would try harder, you know?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I think the same thing is true now. Like, yeah, there's people who are going to be watching you. And it's like, those are the people that we need to pay attention to, not our critical friends and family or people that, you know, we feel smaller around, but the people that make us feel uncomfortable a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
Those are the people that we need to play up to and be like, yeah, I belong in that room. How's this feel?
Mm-hmm.
Does this feel empowering to you or a little scary also?
Empowering, yes. Scary? No.
Right.
No, it sounds exciting.
Exciting, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
It's all in how we look at it. I just am identifying so much with the honesty that you're bringing. And I thank you for that vulnerability because it really is something we all go through. And there's times where I'm still acting as if I might feel a little shy or a little, you know, insecure or not like myself or something. Like maybe I might be on my way to an event or something for Legendary, a mastermind, and kind of, man, but I walk out on that stage and just own the room and just, I'm here. And mm-hmm. within 5 minutes or so, you know, I'm back, you know, because I didn't believe those first thoughts and I just acted myself into a new way of thinking.
Right.
What else has been either a challenge or a success for you along this journey over the last few months? I mean, what's something else that's been a learning lesson for you or something that stood out that's like, yeah, you know, I would recommend somebody else pay attention to that, or this was something that was really helpful for me in creating content. What else stands out to you in terms of your marketing journey and helping you continue to get going and you know, not stop, or even something that worked really well for you?
I think one, the comparison, like I used to just like, cause I was always watching the Legendary feed, whether it was on Facebook or, you know, whatever. And I was like, why don't I have that many followers? Like, it's crazy, you know? And I just stopped doing that. I just was like, this is not, I mean, I still read the feed, but I was just like, you know, this is not, their journey is not my journey. And what happens to me in 2023 may be a different situation in 2024. And I just got that out of my head. So if I could counsel anyone coming into this. I think a lot of marketers, I don't know if it's true or not true, maybe it's true. You know, the 2 hours a day, that's not my journey. If you can make $1 million in 2 hours a day, that's great. But I don't think that that is the story, not only for every niche, but for everybody. So I think it's really important to understand that your journey is your journey, and to get out of your own way. I think that would be like the one of the biggest things that I've realized long, because it's very easy to get sucked into that, like, how did they do that in 3 months, you know, type mentality. You know what I mean?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And, you know, that is right back into that comparisonitis thing, and right back into, you know, am I even hearing the full story? Do I, you know, sometimes 3 months or whatever you may hear is really 10 years of failure to get to that 3 months of finally succeeding in this particular venture. So, yeah, I mean, you know, horses wear blinders when they're racing for a reason. Mm-hmm. And that's so they're not paying attention to the horse that's next to them. You know, this is also a, you know, community and skill sets that apply to many different niches. And I think also getting outside into different niches like you're in and so many other people are venturing into is really key, because you know, a lot of these, we just had a guy on the show the other day in the pilot niche in training and teaching pilots. And he said that, hey, within a year or so, he sees the ability to be able to be in the top pilot marketer and content creator in that niche. And I just wonder what everybody, so many of you who are listening this morning, what do you know? What could you do that you could go in and it really be a wide open field for you to just go in and create? Obviously, you don't want to be in a niche where there's absolutely nobody doing anything. A lot of times we think we're going to be a groundbreaking, oh, I'm going to go into this topic and talk about this. And at this point, everybody's done pretty much everything or tried everything. So find something, if you can find something that doesn't have a ton of, you know, huge content creators and marketers already in it, that may be a great place to get your feet wet. Mm-hmm. And I think the other thing is, remember that we're not married to a niche either. You know, right. We can jump around, you can do multiple niches. Mm-hmm. You can have multiple campaigns going on in different niches at the same time. Mm-hmm. But yeah, comparisonitis in any way, shape, or form is always the thief of joy and the thief of motivation. And we need to just be careful about it. I love how you said you just turned off the feed. Yeah, I mean, you unfollow people, even people who once inspired you or you know, were heroes to you. It's okay to take a break from them if they're no longer inspiring you. Mm-hmm. You know, we need to really own our space and make sure that we're only taking in things that are making us feel empowered and motivated. And so I love that you're, you know, taking that bold action to say, no, I don't want to see that anymore, or I don't want to listen to that anymore. That's right. Totally fine. I love that. Yeah. What else? What else in terms of content creation or connecting with your audience has been helpful for you? I know that you said, and one thing that stood out to me was the specific types of content to post on the specific types of platforms.
Right.
That was really important to pay attention to. Twitter, you said videos, not so much. Pictures, go crazy.
Yeah.
What else about platform-specific marketing or content has stuck out to you as, wow, that was a learning lesson or a light bulb moment?
Yeah, a lot of things, actually. So on the one hand, to your point, everything's a test, right? And people will say, oh, you know, you need to be on TikTok or you need to be on Instagram. Like there's, I know there's a big food thing going on Instagram, but Instagram and I, for whatever reason, we just don't work out. So, it's just, I found it extremely difficult to grow on Instagram. But what I have learned is if you study your community, even if you, let's say you have 25 followers and you're actually engaging with those followers, you can start to understand, I could start to understand at least how to start to build that community within that platform. So what I've learned is I really think you can build a community in any platform. And I think X is living proof of that. Like it defies all the laws of it has to be video in 2024 and it has to be TikTok or it has to be Instagram. I think you just have to do the work to find the community that works for you. And what works for you on one platform may not necessarily work for you on another. And you have to be patient. Like I really haven't grown on Instagram, but I haven't stopped either. I've been at 800 for like a year. I don't even know. But I'm not stopping, you know, because you never know. It's like that one day, 6 months from now, it's kind of like, you know, if something happens in your life, I always think about like, God, you know, when you were born, and if you just knew that on this day, 23 years from now, that your life was going to be completely different, you know, but you don't know. And you just got to stick with your passion and roll the dice. And I tell you, that attitude, I think, is what's got me writing for Meathead. It got me on the menu. I just think you gotta love yourself. That's what I've learned.
Do you advertise these as credentials, things that you've accomplished?
On my website and on LinkedIn, I'm a content creator for the International SUVI Association, which was, you know, a really big deal for me a couple of years ago. I was the only female nominee. So those types of things, yeah. I advertise on my website, but you know, websites are not funnels. So,
yeah, well, I mean, those are kind of things even in your funnel that could and should be front and center to build that credibility. A lot of times, if you're not feeling so confident, those pieces, when you have them, they're sort of like a suit of armor. You are, yeah, like, hey, well, let me remind myself, I'm writing for Meathead. I'm on celebrity menus in LA. I'm the only woman, right? I mean, so some of these things that oftentimes we downplay are really impressive to others and can help our credibility to sell the products that we were talking about just a few moments ago, those live classes, though, you know, to you know, put in your email, to weave into your stories as you're writing emails. Hey, back when I started writing for Meathead, just seeding those little things as little reminders, not particularly putting them in people's face and being all like, yo, I'm so great, I am the best in the world, but just seeding them in, humble brags, right? Seeding in your accomplishments. You know, these are things that are really impressive to me, Stephanie, and so they will certainly be impressive to the people who are following you and making a decision about joining you for an online class or enrolling into a course or purchasing or downloading your cookbook. But
wonderful. I like the online class idea, because I will tell you, making a video about a meal, like, is so much work. I mean, to make the meal and then to edit it and to do the voiceover, like, it's an incredible amount of work.
Well, but look at the value of this show, right? I mean, going live for me or doing a webinar or a Zoom has always been my favorite form of content delivery, because you're right. There's nothing that needs to be edited. There's nothing. You just deliver it in real time. And you know what? People appreciate being there live with you. That's one of the things that you may be minimizing in terms of value. The value of being and watching and experiencing and interacting live.
Right.
All of you need to really kind of hear this. is that people value your quality time. This is, it is a love language.
Right.
It is a love language. And when you combine specifically quality time with cooking, you are now combining massive love languages.
Mm-hmm.
Not to mention the value that you're delivering in the actual content about cooking. So right. That is, people feel connected to you when they know you're live. That is, I can, without a doubt, that is why this show has been so popular. Without a doubt, that is why our Decade in a Day workshops are so popular, our live coaching sessions that we do every day. Legendary does a lot of live stuff. We have evolved. Even if I was to create a course, as a matter of fact, we just did update our digital products blueprint.
Right.
And we did 8 weeks of live workshops that we then turned into the course. I have been doing that, my friends, for 13 years. And the reason why I've been doing that is because going live and being live with people, there's a magic. It's hard to explain. It's just different. People pay attention to, even when you're selling. I've always been a huge fan of Zooms or webinars. It's what I started, because people will stay on longer than they will if it's a recorded video.
I believe that one. You probably wouldn't know by looking at me, but many moons ago, I did stand-up comedy, and it was like, it wasn't like a live, like, oh, I'm going to teach you something, but it was just like that whole interaction and giving people a break and making them feel connected.
Totally.
So, yeah, I think I'm totally with you on the live.
I can totally see you up there.
Hi, Anna.
Oh, my God. And wow, you're so, and I've thought you were funny many times throughout this. Imagine your cooking classes having an element of comedy and humor. Oh, Stephanie, you got magic. You got magic. And my only hope is that you really let the world experience it more and more here in 24. As we bring this in for a landing, what has this process reminded you or taught you about yourself? The comedy cook, Sarah says. Wow.
good one,
Sarah.
It's reminded me that, like, this is going to sound bad, but you're never too old, you know, like, it doesn't matter. It just, it doesn't matter. I mean, like, stop listening to other people. Like, I've never listened to other people before. Why would I start now? You know, I mean, my day job, It's that mindset that you talk about, right? I'm in project management. I got a bunch of certifications around that, no college, but I know what I'm doing, and having that same mindset when you dip into something new, whether it's digital marketing or comedy cook. I mean, I didn't even get into my comedy until my 30s. So like, just, you're never too old.
Me either.
Exactly. But you're never too old, right? I mean, you'd be 50, 60.
My 20s were a tragedy. My 30s were a comedy show. My 40s, well, those are yet to be determined.
See? There you go. Well, congratulations to making it that far. That's a blessing.
Yeah.
So, no. And I mean, opportunities like this. Like, I do not get up this early for many people. But Dave Sharp asked to talk to you. Wow, what an honor, you know? So, absolutely amazing. I would never be in this situation if I wouldn't have decided to take that $7 course. So, spending an hour with you, it's been a highlight.
Oh, well, I'm glad. I hope you can go back and re-listen to some of this too, where you are like maybe feeling the pressure of being live here, and take in some of the things that I said, both the affirmations to you of how wonderful I think you are, as well as some of the suggestions that I was kind of doing with you live here. And please also go back and read some of the comments or all of them, because people love you. People.
I love you all too.
I'm just, you know, I've gotten pretty good at reading comments as well as being live here. And, you know, thank you all so much for just the absolutely, you know, supportive, loving, quite frankly, hilarious comments that have been coming in, you know, for the show, for Stephanie this morning, just, you know, really encouraging her to step into her power. Oftentimes, you know, people see in us the greatness that we don't see in ourselves yet. And so my hope is that you just begin to see this next version of yourself. And also that, you know, part, a lot of what you were talking about, the qualities that you had in your younger days are not gone. You know, they're just untapped. And we all kind of go through that. I know I can relate to that, of feeling like, do I still got it? But I do. And you do too.
Yes, indeed.
All right.
Well, thank you so much for this time. I really appreciate it. It's wonderful.
You're so welcome and deserving. And so we'll hopefully follow up with you here the next few months and see how the journey's going. Okay.
So, cheers, everyone.
Cheers, my friend.
Remember, you can cook that too.
Thank you. And we're going to send everybody to you over on X and follow Stephanie. Me as well. I need some cooking tips myself. So thank you for your time and all your wonderful value this morning, Stephanie. We'll talk to you soon, okay?
Thank you so much. Bye-bye.
Bye. All right, my friends, you can find and follow Stephanie over on X, okay? That's formerly Twitter at I Can Cook This. She's also on Instagram if you wanna follow her there, chefsteph_icancookthat. She's got a I Can Cook That, I Can Cook This. So just be wary of that. YouTube, I Can Cook That. So wow, what a great episode for those of you who are you know, feeling those same thoughts and feelings. Do I still got it? You know, no matter, you know, gosh, you don't have to be, you know, 40 plus to be thinking that. I certainly know people in their 30s. I think in your 20s, you're kind of still, you know, no offense to anybody in their 20s, but unconsciously living life, and you are a bit fearless. Your 30s, you start to kind of, you know, awaken a little bit more and become more self-conscious and self-aware. 40s, it's kind of like, ooh, wow. You know, that's when a lot of us kind of go into a little bit of a identity crisis. 50s, you know, hey, I'm not there yet, but we got wonderful experience from so many people who are doing bold things in their 50s, 60s, 70s, even 80s. So follow Stephanie along in her journey as she steps into her greatness here in this chapter of her life. And let's cheer her on. Let's learn how to cook from her. And let's watch her as she continues to build a business around one of her greatest passions, which is cooking. You can follow her on X, which is formerly Twitter, X at I Can Cook This. If you want to get started here with Legendary Marketer, go through our 15-day challenge, enroll in our blueprints, come to a mastermind, go to legendarymarketer.com/enroll, legendarymarketer.com/enroll, and get started. If you want a text message reminder every time we go live in the morning at 10 a.m. Eastern Time, Monday through Friday, text WUL to 813-296-8553. Again, the words or letters WUL for Wake Up Legendary to 813-296-8553. As soon as you send that text, you'll get a confirmation that you're on the list. And remember, we take all the audios from these and put them on the major podcast platforms. Just go to, say, for example, Apple Podcasts or whatever, and type in Wake Up Legendary. And you should be able to listen to all the audios from these episodes live, or not live, but the recorded version, so you can catch them while you're doing whatever you're doing, driving, for example, instead of, you know, listening to something else that is not going to rock your socks like Wake Up Legendary. All right, my friends, get out of here. Woo! I'm fired up. What an inspirational morning here with Stephanie. Thank you so much once again, Stephanie, for a great episode. Follow her over on X at I Can Cook This, and we'll see you back here tomorrow for another episode. Get out of here. Peace.